Wallow it!
The Gulo Sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck?
That's a swear word.
Alright, welcome back to Wallow with Otto and JC on 95 BFM. Before we continue, we just want to give you guys a reminder, if you have any thoughts on the tracks we're playing tonight, any suggestions, or any thoughts on this upcoming interview, please text us on 5395. Or if you're feeling ballsy, call us on 309-3879.
My goodness, I just zoned out for a little bit. But yes, please call us in to see how we go for tonight.
Yeah. So as we mentioned at the start of the show, we had a chat with local underground rapper Emperor C about a new album that he just dropped called Reverence. It's his sophomore release, his second album ever. I had to Google what sophomore meant while I was preparing for the interview. I know what sophomore means. I'm just joking. I'm like, is sophomore like two or three? No.
Can I just say something? So the easiest way to like figure that out is freshman means like first year of high school, and then sophomore is the second year of high school.
Yeah. Well, this is his sophomore release, and it's a pretty groovy album. But we'll just let Eric, aka Emperor C,
talk his shit.
Yeah, talk his shit. Joining us right now is Eric, aka Emperor C. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm happy to be here. So.
Oh yeah. Earlier you mentioned you'd been to BFM before, right?
Yes, I was with the Bros, Buddha Boss, Day, Bubblegum, Nine Lives. Just a bunch of us were promoting the show, and I heard that y'all were there. So hey, thank you.
Sick.
Yeah.
All right. So to begin, can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, man. I'm Emperor C, or call me Eric, whatever you will. I make music and I represent AKL, AKL Lifestyle.
All right, so you just dropped your sophomore album called Reverence, which follows your 2024 collab with Benny Bachi. Can you tell us a bit about your new album in your own words?
Of course. One word I'd like to use is collaboration. I really use the brains of a lot of my peers, a lot of my people around me that support me and help me out in terms of beats, in terms of artwork, in terms of just ideas in general. I feel like I utilize those in a way that kind of represents everybody in the scene. So, yeah.
So, like, what was your vision for this album when you were writing it? Like, because, like, a lot of your earlier work, like, your first EP, Ritual, was a bit more, like, experimental and had some more elements of glitch and, like, sigil core. So, like, what direction were you looking to take your sound through with this new album?
In drawing influences from, you know, my past projects, I wanted to sort of more refine a sound, like what Empress C kind of sounds like. So I'm definitely locked in primarily with one producer, Alex. Shout out Alex, man. That's my guy. Me and him pretty much sat down for a couple months just working on stuff together in the same room, just in the same mindset to hone down on a specific sound. And yeah, we drew a lot of influences from the people around us, like Max Nine Lives and our bros, Damn It Tony, who's worked with like Tekka and shit. Shout out all of them, by the way. These guys are my brothers. But essentially it is to hone down on a certain specific sound that we wanted to sort of deviate ourselves from the rest of hip-hop. Because, you know, why would you listen to another person that's making like Yeet type music? Why don't you just listen to Yeet? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you feel like you're trying to develop like your own signature sound on this record?
Yes, 100%. Because I draw a lot of obviously influences from the underground culture, but I feel like it's time to, you know, take a step back and try. Be like, hey, why should I give people a reason to listen to me?
So artists have their own ethos, right?
Right.
How would you define your ethos in the underground scene or in your own words?
In my own words, I feel like where I would fit in is I'm trying to bring the collaborative effort to the forefront because, like you said, for my first album, it was with Benny Bachi. But the marketing standpoint of things and the video editing, all that stuff, was from the people around me. I was merely there just to put the pieces together and sort of just, you know, do my bit. I feel like collaborative effort is a very important thing in this day and age because you can't do it yourself and you shouldn't be scared to ask for help, essentially.
And speaking about collaboration, you know, there were quite a few producers who worked on this album. Nine Lives was a name that you mentioned as well, you know, who you performed with a couple weeks back. Can you tell us about the different people involved in this album and how they brought it to life?
Yeah, of course. So I'll go off the producers first and then I'll talk about the artwork second because there's a whole realm of people involved. Producer-wise, and my brother Max, Nine Lives, my brother Alex, and my brother Damn It Tony. And then I branched out as well a little bit to get other people involved, like Loud Pack. Like, we had a lot of collaboration, like Marzi. He's a 17-year-old, by the way. He's very, very talented. He makes his own beats, he raps. But essentially, we all had a common goal in mind, is to make like a good body of work. And then that's why I had to reach out to these people to be like, hey, can you guys make my vision come to life? And essentially, that's why I reached out to these people. And, you know, first and foremost, though, these guys are my friends. So I feel like you're able to make the most out of the moment and present yourself the best when you're amongst your friends. I find it very awkward sometimes to, like, work with a person I don't really know, because it's half the time we're sitting there and it's quiet, you know, and it's like, okay. But when I'm with my friends, it's very easy to be like, you know, bring out your real personality out of yourself. So first and foremost, I think it's about the community, which is why I'm so big on the collaborative effort. I think if you're doing something for the greater good or something other than yourself, I think that's what it should be beneficial towards, and that's when the best art comes out, in my opinion.
Yeah, so you prefer to work with, you know, people you already know and producers you already know, as opposed to like going out and like finding like a random producer somewhere?
No, 100%. There's nothing wrong with that though. I'm always open to people sending me stuff, and likewise, I'll send out stuff to people. But I think my best work comes from when I'm sitting there with my friend, we're fucking cracking jokes about some stupid shit. Oh, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, okay.
just making sure, you know. But, you know, when I'm sitting there laughing about some stupid meme that we both just saw sent to each other, that's when, you know, your real personality comes to show, because you don't have anything to hide from that point. And I feel like, yeah, your friends are the ones that will bring that out of you.
And personally, like, as an artist, who would you say your main influences are?
Oh, this is a good question, actually. I'm quite tapped in with both the underground side and like kind of
like the mainstream.
The mainstream, artist, yeah. Also like classic hip hop stuff. So first and foremost, I'd be like people like MF Doom. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like real hip hop head shit. I grew up listening to that. And then second of all, I like to bring a twist to it where I embrace like the new gen of stuff. Mm. So I listen to people like Tanner, which is like Baby Santana, just rappers like Lil Tecca, Yeet, all that stuff, Cardi, you know, people that are bringing a new twist to the genre, because it's always exciting to keep your horizons broad, as opposed to be like, no, this is real hip hop. You got to be like this. You got to be like Nas. You got to make another Illmatic. Like, you know, as much as I love that shit, I listen to that stuff all the time. But I think it's very one dimensional if you're just closed off to that. And then you just want to, you know, make stuff that's already been made.
Because it's pretty interesting to hear you name, like, MF Doom, because, you know, he's, like, kind of, like, boom bap, like, a bit, like, 90s kind of stuff, so.
Yeah. But I'm a big boom bap fan, man. Alchemist and Freddie Gibbs just dropped the album recently.
Yeah.
Alfredo, too. Insane. Yeah, I'm super tapped in with that side of stuff. I'm like, a vinyl collector. I collect all the classics, all that stuff. So I think it's good to have both in the realm of your creativity. I think if you get one track minded, it's kind of hard to come up with new ideas. But if you embrace both, like the new and the traditional, then I think you can go places.
Could you tell us a bit more about your collective as well, AKL Lifestyle?
So AKL Lifestyle, shout out to Goon Years, by the way. That's a term coined by our bro Goon Years. He's been in the scene for a minute. He's been doing stuff with international artists. I don't know if you heard of like Jack Zebra. He's like a Chinese rapper, but he's like blowing up in the underground. And he's been doing a lot of stuff in the realm of like dubstep, but also trance, techno, but also bringing it back to hip hop. So I love the collaborative effort of not just, you know, being one track minded, like I said earlier, just bringing all that stuff together. But anyway, to bring it back to the topic, AKL Lifestyle is pretty much just me and my friends enjoying each other's company and just wanting to bring the scene together. Because I feel like there's a lot of division in the Auckland scene. People think they're all this and that. But hey, man, we're just out here trying to make some fun shit. You know what I mean?
Back to the way that you mentioned that you're a vinyl collector, bro. I'm actually quite intrigued to hear what your opinion about this.
Okay.
Would you take samples from those vinyls and just... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. So how I actually started making hip hop was me and my brother, Andre Bugatti. He's another artist, but I'll call him Ruben for the sake of this interview. My friend Ruben and I, we used to just, you know, listen to MF Doom, Quasimodo, like all the little sample stuff, Mad Lib, Alchemist, all that. And we bought this like MPC. It's not the MPC, but it's the Machine MK1, which is also a 16, 4x4, 16 buttons. You know, you could press and play samples off that. So I started off that. And yeah, I love sampling. Actually, one track of my project is a sample beat by Dammit Tony. And then I'm dropping another single in a couple weeks. That's also a sample beat. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because I love sampling. I think that's where the foundation of hip hop actually started. So yeah, sampling I think is very important.
It's because that certain sound from the 90s, that's where it all began, am I correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, because like they have like that signature, I don't know, four on floor with a certain tom drum as well. Mm-hmm. So
I guess that's like where I kind of like ask if sampling is where it all began for most hip hop artists.
100%. I feel like where hip hop like started, from my knowledge, is, you know, us taking the old funk, jazz, soul, and then us spinning it into a new, more modern approach, more hip. You know what I mean? Hip hop, more hip for the youth. You know what I mean? So I think to embrace tradition and then flip it and make it your own thing is essentially what my whole ethos is about. So, yeah.
You just reminded me what it was called. It's called flipping the sample.
Yeah, yes, sir. You gotta flip it sometimes, bro. All
right, so as I may have mentioned, like, over text, Walao, like, our show is about, you know, championing Asian artists and playing music from the Asian diaspora. Would you mind, like, telling us a bit about your background?
Of course, man. So I'm a Kiwi-born Chinese. My parents are from China. Very hardworking people. Shout out to them. And I'm very blessed to be born here and raised here. I really love the culture here. I really love the diversity here. I think it's important that us as, like, you know, Asians, we've been, a lot of the time, especially growing up, we've been misrepresented. We've been clowned on, you know, we're fucking nerds. You know, get that calculator, you know, stuff like that. But hey, I think it's cool that in terms of culture, now there's kind of been a shift that, oh, whoa, there are these, K-pop stars. There are these people out here doing shit. They're very creative. And yeah, I think it's just cool to represent where you're from and all that stuff, which is the ethos of AKL lifestyle as well. You ain't gotta be ashamed of where you're from. You know what I mean?
So you feel like Asians are getting a lot more representation now in music and media?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like, I don't know about this term, but I feel like a lot of people do fetishize Asians now, which is kind of weird in my opinion, because growing up, I was always clowned for being Asian. But hey, we're here now. So you know what I mean? It's cool. We gotta be proud of what we are, you know, at the end of the day. There's no point in hiding where you come from and all that stuff. And then there's no point in being ashamed of it, because that only is a detriment to yourself, I feel like.
Has your background, like, ever had an influence on your approach to songwriting or your journey as an artist?
I will say I'm a very westernized person, you know, having grown up from New Zealand and Auckland, and I've been here pretty much my whole life. I feel like I do bring a lot of themes of Asian stuff. Like, I'm about to drop a single called The Year of the Snake, because in the lunar calendar, it is the year of the snake. But also, I tie it into themes of the Western world, where being a snake is not seen as a good thing. It's been seen as like, oh, this guy's slimy. Like, oh, yo, you stay away from this guy. But I think I have fun playing with themes of both Western and Eastern worlds, because I'm from both. Like, I can relate to both. But at the same time, sometimes for the Eastern people, I'm a bit too Western. For the Western people, they're like, yeah, you're from the East, bro. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you're kind of like caught between two worlds.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like I'm appreciative of that, though, because I feel like you can get very one-track-minded if you're just in one world. It's nice to be able to take a step back sometimes and be like, hey, I embrace both.
Are there any, like, Chinese hip-hop artists or, like, artists from China that you are tapped into that you've been listening to?
I mentioned this before, but Jack Zebra, he kind of sounds like a Chinese Blade. Right, if you're into like Drain Gang and stuff like that. Yeah, he's like a Chinese Blade. He's fire, by the way. You guys should check him out, Jack Zebra. And then before that, I would say the Haya Brothers, because they were on that wave of 2016, Famous Dex, like Migos, Playboi Carti. They sound like that. So I feel like it's really nice to see the Eastern world take influence from the West, because it's always been like that. And the West always takes influence from the East too. So it's cool seeing the dynamics at play.
All right. So just to finish off, going forward, you know, what are your plans like following this release? You know, do you have like any like headline shows planned?
Yes, we are. AKL Lifestyle is still going on. We're planning on, in a couple months, doing another one. And also, I'm going to keep pushing my stuff. I'm going to keep dropping singles. And I really hope you guys enjoy this album, because I put my heart and soul into it for the past couple months. But that's not just like an effort on my behalf. That's for all my friends that helped me make this come to fruition. So, yeah.
And are there any artists or producers you think you might collab with in the future as well?
In the future? Let me see. Yeah, no, I have plans to definitely branch out. I want to reach the American market. I already have my foot in the Aussie market, just because a lot of my friends are either from there or they moved there. So I'm going to just keep going, you know what I mean?
Awesome, yeah. Well, thanks so much, man. We really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. This is a blessing. Thank you so much.
And that was Emperor C talking to us about his new album, Reverence, which came out last Friday. Really nice, really humble, really chill dude.
Or a former is what I'm going to take out of it. But the guy is so nonchalant, but really passionate
or
about...
Or a farmer, yeah.
Yeah, like very like passionate about the music that he has now refined to himself and tailored to himself.
Yeah, and yeah, he has a very clear vision about his music and where he wants to take it to. Yeah. The reason why I thought like he would be too cool, you know, or whatever, is because like, and I should have like said this before the start of the interview. There's a couple of things I wanted to, I'm going to say that I should have said like before we played the interview, but I caught him opening for Nine Lives at Double Whammy a couple weeks back. And he just absolutely killed it during his set. You know, he, you know, had like so much aura, so much swag.
Was he playing with a DJ behind them, or was it just all tracks with him?
No, he had a DJ, and he also played with Benny Bacci, who he's collaborated with quite a bit. But yeah, the dude like really killed it during his set. And you know, then after that I just messaged him on Instagram the next day. I was like, hey dude, really liked your set, you know, I co-host a show called Walao, like would you like to come on to talk about your new album, because he also like mentioned that he was dropping an album. So yeah, it all kind of aligned real perfectly.
And it led us back to here.
Yeah, and so I'm really glad we got to talk to him. Also, just a disclaimer, and I should have also mentioned this at the start of the interview, the reason why like it kind of sounds in the beginning of the interview like Eric's vocals or his voice sounds like his answers like sound like they're being filmed inside like a closet or like a bathroom is because... we didn't actually realize that his microphone was not on until like 3 minutes into the interview.
But that's okay. We've managed to fix it.
Yeah, managed to fix it thanks to Audacity, thanks to the magic of post-production, thanks to the magic of the B-Chain. Shout out Rick Breeze as well.
Shout out Rick Breeze. We love Rick Breeze. Yeah.
But I just want to say, and I don't want to throw shade at any other you know, BFM producers who use the studio, but... you know, if for whatever reason you have to turn off the record mix on the console in Studio 3, please just turn that shit back on once you're done with your recording, because like suckers like me, like we'll go and start like our recordings and we'll be like, why the hell isn't this working? And it's because someone has like turned off a button that didn't need to be turned off, you know?
Really?
Yeah, the console is like set up perfectly. There's no reason to tamper with it and to do anything other than just like pushing the knobs up and like pressing record. But anyway, no shade to anyone who had to do that. I'm sure.
I think
like,
there
whoever...
was a little bit of shade, guys. But...
Well, no, there was probably 100% a valid reason for them to do that. And I should have like gone like, I should have stopped the interview and gone like, why is his like microphone not working? But I was just like, be conscious of time.
It's okay. Anyway. Well, we managed to get it there in the end, and you did really good.
I appreciate it. Anyway, without further ado, you know, I've been yapping enough. Let's play some more tracks from his new album.
Can I do this real quick?
Yeah. Wait.